tough stuff. All right, John chapter 1, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for this privilege to share the Word of God. I pray that you'd help us, give us understanding. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Look at verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, I want you to understand, that's not the John that you're looking at. It's not John talking about himself here. This is the book of the Gospel according to St. John. St. John is not writing about himself. He's writing about another John. He's writing about John the Baptist. And I know that's fundamental, but some of you might not have knew that. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. He wasn't Jesus, but was sent to bear witness of that light. He come to point people to Jesus. He come to expose Jesus. He come to reveal Jesus Christ. When he was over there in this same chapter, verse 29, he was over there baptizing on that Jordan River, and he said, "Behold," told that entire crowd, "stop, look, it's the Lamb of God." And that was his deal, to bring light, to introduce people to Jesus Christ. He was the forerunner. And he was not that light. He was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, Jesus. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Nobody's ever been born in the history of the world without the light of God being shed abroad in their heart. Nobody. He lights every man that comes into the world. Nobody will ever go to hell without knowing about Jesus. You know, well, them little old Africans over there, they know about Jesus. They know good and well about him. They don't want him. They hate him. They despise him. So every man that cometh into the world. And then he said, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So what did he do? He sent John to introduce people to Jesus Christ, to get people to Jesus. He came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 3. Verse 1 says, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying," look at what the message was, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Isn't it amazing that one of the most hated doctrines in your entire Bible was the very message that God chose to introduce Jesus, the forerunner? I mean, the person that's going to make manifest this light, God gave him the message of repentance. Isn't that amazing? And even in our independent fundamental Baptist, the very doctrine that we probably shun the most is the doctrine of repentance. It's just strange. The message that God gave John the Baptist to prepare ye the way of the Lord was the message of repentance. That's how you prepare to meet the Lord, through repentance. That was the preparation to the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to repent. In order to get to him, you got to have repentance. Let me say this. I do not believe that you can ever get saved without repentance. You just can't get saved. And I know we don't have a problem with that here. There's a gospel being preached in our land today that just says to believe, though. And Stephen might hear it, and Matthew might hear it, so I just have to say something once in a while, that you cannot get saved without repenting. You cannot just believe. The doctrine is being preached and pushed down our throats today, even in our Baptists. I mean, our big shop Baptists, the Baptist leaders of our day, is shunning repentance and just preaching believe. Believe.
And, you know, we talk about that guy over here in the Sword of the Lord conference that said that, you know, they was in there witnessing to a guy in his house and was in there for a long time. And, you know, I mean, they hung around trying to get him to pray a prayer and feel good about it. And, you know, so they could tell him he was saved and all that. But, you know, they could never get that satisfaction. And that preacher walked out of that house and this is what he said. And you answered my question. You tell me. He said God told him what's wrong with just believing. So he turned back around and knocked on that man's door and said, sir, if you just believe. And he said, man, the guy got it. Praise God, he got born again. Was the Holy Ghost the person that told that preacher what's wrong with just believing? Or was that the devil? I mean, what spirit? That was the devil. Because it's contrary to the scriptures. God, Jesus, the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, none of them will ever say anything contrary to what's in that book. If it's in the book and it says repent, then and you got the message on belief, then it's not of God, it's of the devil. That's them doctrines of devils, salvation without repentance. But they just believe. You can't get saved without first repenting. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, and we'll see it after a while, repent and believe. That's what it says. That's what your King James Bible says. Repent, believe. I believe the reason most folks ain't changing is because most people ain't experiencing true deliverance. Most never change because they never repent. I mean, that's why we got a salvation today without holy living. That's why we can have a revival in our community and claim what a great revival we had. But we see no widespread of holiness in our community. If God ever does bring revival to little bitty peon Davie County, there will be a residue of holiness left over. When was the last time you seen any of that in Davie County? Well, I mean, just going to Walmart, when have you seen the holiness of God? I'm telling you, if there's a revival meeting, you'll see the holiness of God. What are you saying? I mean, there's liable to be a guy sitting up down there in the back of a pickup truck preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the true gospel, the word of God. It's the last time we've seen that. How many times you see people lined up down there at the Old Mill Junction or whatever it is downtown Knoxville, somebody stand up down on that platform and they have an outside church. But we have revival. We're having all this conversion without repentance. That's why we don't see the residue of holiness left over. I'm going to tell you what it'll do in mine and your life if you ever do get born again. When we repent, there'll be a residue of holiness in our life. It produces holiness. That's what it does. Because God's holy. That's what he is. That's who he is. And if we ever do get to him, it'll be some residue of him in our life. Repent. Most folks never do really experience repentance, so they never do experience true deliverance. They never change because they believe without repenting. They believe without it. We have a world full of churches today with people that believe in Jesus but have never repented. Therefore, there's no holiness, no fruit, no joy, no fellowship of the Spirit, right? I mean, you see that. No joy. No joy. I just want to look for a little bit this morning on the doctrine of repentance. And I don't have to convince this congregation or anybody sitting here of repentance, but we just want to look at some of the scriptures and refresh our memory on what God says about it and how he feels about it. Look at verse 7 in Matthew 3. But when he saw many, well, let's just read on down. For this is he that was spoken of the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Man, how did he prepare the way of the Lord? Repentance. Make his path straight. How do you make the path straight? Through repentance. Straight is the way and narrow is the, straight is the way, straight and narrow is the way, or whatever, how it goes, you know what, but broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Straight and narrow is the way that leadeth to life everlasting. The only way you're going to have everlasting life is through repentance. Got to come through repentance. Make straight. Then he said, the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan,
and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Now watch. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come. These folks showed up at church because they were worried about the future judgment. I wasn't so concerned about his message, but they did understand that there was a judgment ahead, and they was fearful of that judgment. They were humanist, I should say, huh? They were in this thing for humanism. They were self-centered. I just want out of this judgment. I want out of this wrath. I want out of trouble. I really don't want to repent, but I don't want to have to go through that judgment of God Almighty. And so they showed up, and John said, who warned y'all? You know, why would you even come here? And then look at verse 8. He said, listen to what he said to them. Bring forth, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee the wrath to come. Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, and we'll go back to verse 8 after a while, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up Abraham, unto children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. Watch this. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. Listen, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, the Pentecostals has got this all messed up, and it's crept into our Baptist church. And I believe in certain things of the fire of God, and the eyes were as a flame of fire, and I think that's purifying. And man, but here in this text, they've got this thing screwed up, Steve, to where that's some kind of an emotional high. That's some kind of an extra blessing, a goosebump of God, something that God going to fill me with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Them cloven tongues of fire. Boy, they put the emphasis on fire. Do you understand what the baptism of fire, and this ain't what I'm teaching on, but what the baptism of fire in this verse is all about? He said there's going to be those that when Jesus comes that he baptizes with the Holy Ghost and another baptism and with fire. There's going to be those that come to Jesus Christ through repentance. There's going to be those that put their faith in the finished work. And there's going to be those that trust the Lord as their Savior. And he is going to baptize those people with the Holy Ghost. Then there's going to be another baptism of those that do not believe, that do not repent, that do not put their faith in him, and he is going to put them into hell. That's a baptism. He's going to put them into the lake of fire, and he's going to baptize them with fire. When you get submerged into hell fire, that is your baptism as a sinner. One way or another, everybody on planet Earth is going to go through the baptism of God in one way or shape or form. Either through the Holy Ghost baptism or through the hellfire baptism. And the choice is up to us. God said, you don't want to repent? Good, I got a baptism for you. I'll put you in hell. Now, the society, the world, and churches has got that thing so screwed up. Ladies and gentlemen, study it. That's what that baptism of fire is. It's been put in hell. And Jesus said, I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Either you get saved or you go to hell. Pretty good. Look at verse 12. Verse 12 says, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. There it is. Once again, those that are repentant sinners, I'm going to take care of them. But the chaff, we're going to throw it into the fire. We're going to destroy it. That's that baptism of fire. Let's go
good, ain't it? Let's read it one more time so you can see it. Whose fan is in his right hand? He will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat. That's the redeemed. That's the repentant sinner. Gather his wheat into the garner. Baptism of the Holy Ghost right there. Then here's the sinner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. What's the Bible say about hell? The fire is not quenched. It's unquenchable. That's that baptism of fire. So the two baptisms here are quite different. We can see that the one of being a man born again and the other a man going to hell. And the tree that brings forth not fruit shall be cut down and cast into the fire. Is that not what your Bible says? You cut it down. Man, we were to bring forth fruit. When a tree doesn't bring forth fruit, he cuts that tree down. And what do? They throw it into the fire. What is that? That's the baptism of fire. Does he do that to repentant sinners? No, he don't cut them down and throw them into the fire. A repentant sinner has fruit. It's a tree. Remember, we said the other day, he shall be like a tree. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate both day and night. He shall be like a tree, Psalms 1 says, planted by the rivers of waters. Bring forth his fruit in a season. And his leaves shall not wither. Huh? And so we see that the people of God are the trees of God. And they bring forth fruit. You're going to bring forth fruit if you're a repentant sinner. Your life will bear fruit. But those trees that don't, they're not his. So he's going to cut them down in baptism with that fire. Throw them in the fire and destroy them with unquenchable fire. Well, everybody's going to be baptized one of these days, one way or another. Back to repentance. Repentance is this. A man is living in sin. So simple. A man is living in sin. The Bible is preached because why? God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. God chose that. So a man lives, he's born in this old world, he's born in sin, shaping in iniquity, he's born speaking lies, he has 13 evils that's protruding out of his heart. I mean, man, he's just a wicked, vile, wretched creature. All of a sudden, man, the word of God is being preached. The Lord has already shined the light of the gospel at birth into his heart, into his conscience, into his mind. He said, my word is nigh unto thee, even in thy mouth. People know the Bible. They've heard God. They've tasted it. God has put it in their mouth. He's put it in their heart. He's put it in their mind. And people refuse it and reject it. And a man's grown, he's living in sin, he's born in sin, he's got those evils that constantly protrude out of his heart, they're just brewing in there, just looking for cracks and crevices to ooze out, and every opportunity they can get out, they come out, whether it's in the mouth or whether it's in deeds or wherever it might be, some way or another, they're going to come out of a man. And that's what defiles that man. What comes out of that heart is what defiles him. Now, heart's already defiled, desperately wicked, and who can know it? God said, I know it. I try the reins. I search the hearts. I give every man according to his ways. And boy, I wish we could understand that sometimes. The reason things are so bad, because God said, I give you according to your ways. Your ways are bad. So that's why things are bad. You want to know why you're eat up with bitterness? Because bitterness is in your heart. God said, I'll give you over to that bitterness. I give every man according to his ways. Saying that, why, man, that's old Brother Travis Clayton. It's amazing, ain't it? Brother Travis ain't got two nickels to rub together hardly. And he might be richer than all of us combined. You never know about Brother Travis. But have you ever seen a man that was always joyful and upbeat and happy? And you want to know why? Because that's what's in that man's heart. And it don't matter when you catch him, where you catch him. It doesn't matter if it's at the Walmart or if it's at the church or right in the middle of all kind of... Man, I'm telling you, old Brother Clayton's happy. You don't want to... Because God has given him according to his ways. Huh? And it just makes you happy to be around him. I mean, people just enjoy being around Travis Clayton. He ain't going to give you no money. Huh? He ain't going to give you no car. He ain't going to put new clothes, wardrobe in your house. I ain't going to do that. But I tell you one thing, he'll put a smile on your face. You like being around, because God's rewarded him according to his ways. That's a blessing, being around people like that. But I don't know why I got off on that, but a man's born and he's grown, and the word of God, the light of God, has been made known to him. When he was born into this world, it lighteth every man that comes into the world. Then all of a sudden, Steve, through all the drunkenness, through all the adulteries, through all the rebellion, through all the lies, through all the fornication, through all everything that protrudes out of a man, one of these days, God will allow a man to preach the word of God. Somewhere, some way, the gospel's going to reach that individual. And that man is headed to hell on a fast lane with no stop signs. And the gospel is being preached, and it is the first stop sign that man has ever faced in his life on the way to hell. Something happens. And when that man receives that preached word of God, whether he asked for it or not, when that man receives that preached word of God, God grants that man a space of repentance, where at that given time, that man can come face to face with what he is, who he is, the truth about him, see himself as God sees him, if he will receive the word of God. And at that given time, God will allow that man to turn from going to hell and turn unto God. What is that? Change your mind. I don't want... Say I'm a drunk. Just say I'm a drunk. And the preacher preaches to me. There's something that happens. There's that stop sign. I'm seeing this thing for the first time. It's clear. There's an understanding. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm lost and on my... I know that I'm rebellious. There's 40 million things wrong in my life. But that man hit something in my life that made me stop in my tracks. And it opened up everything that was wrong in my life. Not just drunkenness. Everything. The lies I tell. My manipulations. My connivance. My secret rebellion. Though I got a smile on my face, my heart is screaming, I hate. It reveals everything. And at that given time, man can say, I no longer want that life. That's repentance. I don't want my booze. I don't want my lies. I don't want my conniving. I don't want my rebellion. I don't want to live in this pride. I don't want to live in this lust. I don't want to be a covetous man. And they turn from that and change their mind. I no longer want those things. I no longer want them things. And they no longer head to hell. And they turn unto God. That's that space that God gives a man. That's repentance. Turning, changing your mind. A change of your mind. A change. And it's a change of a lot, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm telling you, when that word of God is preached, it is a change of mind. It's a change of heart. It's a change of attitude. It's a change of direction. It's a change of your actions. It's a change of your reactions. It's a change. That's true. That's fruit. I mean, when repentance takes place, friend, you can see that man repented. He don't have to stand on the mountains and say, hey, I repented. If he repents, all he's got to do is live. And people say, that man's something different. His life has changed. He's not what he used to be. That's the fruit. I texted Brother Asquith and them this morning, and, you know, like I was going to tell them something, but it was just a thought that I had that, when Jesus said to bear more fruit. And they knew this back when they was in kindergarten. And it just blessed me this morning. But when the Lord said that we bear more fruit. I've been up in New York this week. Just taking in all their fruit. Man, harvesting fruit. You understand? And if they're going to bear more fruit, I must take what I got and start giving it out. That's how they get more fruit. I mean, it's not the only way, but that's another way. And Steve and Holly sitting there, they want to bear more fruit. They had to produce fruit in their life, and their son could partake of that fruit. And then he could go out from there, and he could share it. And they're producing more fruit just through him. And us the same. Every time you hear the preached word of God and you receive or you get fruit out of people's lives, and man, it's fruitful. I mean, you know, you get it out of people's lives, and it's like I just got to stand and sit around this week and pick oranges and grapes and just blessings, huh, off the trees of life up there. Just started picking, man. I mean, them preachers were saying things, and I'm sitting there just taking in all this wonderful fruit, thank God. And now I get to go and live that stuff. And that helps them produce more fruit. That's more fruit in their life. Productive.
Well, repentance is when a man just turns to God, changes his mind. This is exactly what I did the night I got saved. I turned to God mentally and physically. I didn't understand everything. I just didn't. But physically, I turned to God. Mentally, I turned to God. I mean, man, that thing hit me, and it hit me spiritually, if you would say, and it hit me mentally, and it hit me physically. When I say I turned to God physically, my physical life was not even heading in the same direction anymore. Changed direction physically. My mind, my thinking changed. Instead of thinking this way, I thought that way now, and things just began to change, and mentally, and spiritually, and physically, and finance, everything changed. I told them up there in Black Creek Monday night that when I got saved, I wasn't broke. I didn't get saved to get out of a financial debt. I only got broke when I started living by faith. I didn't get broke until I got saved and started living for God. I was doing fine till then. But man, through all them years, God, through my brokenness, I'm talking about finances, my brokenness, God produced fruit through that. Produced fruit for that. But now I look back at it now and go, man, thank God. But then I was like, where's God at? Where is God? Well, it's exactly what I did. God gave, listen, when I changed my mind, I remember sitting in that church that night and how I had a change of mind. I mean, man, it was absolutely amazing how it dawned on me sitting there that night. And just to hear God's voice one more time, because through the years God had dealt with me, and I, you know, just ignored God so much and thought I was okay and made my profession and really didn't pay it any attention. And really, like I told Matt this morning, really didn't need God. Everything was just fine and dandy. But then that night, it's like, man, one more time God spoke. And I changed my mind. Do you think that I would ever walk out in the woods on a summer night with copperheads and I don't give a flip if it's a black snake or a rat snake. I'm not going out in the woods with them suckers. I hate them. If it crawls and it doesn't have legs, it's squirmy and it can slither out of its own stinking skin, I don't want to be where it's at. I don't want to be. I changed my mind that night. I couldn't care less. I didn't even think about it. There's never a time that I'm going to walk down a dark road or through the woods at night and not think about a snake or the booger, man. There's never a time in my life I'm not going to do that. Never. I didn't think about it that night. It was that much of a change. It just, man, everything, my whole. And when I got out there, Steve, and I began to see myself, and I really began to see myself like God saw me. And it was ugly. It was the most putrefying, hateful, ugliest thing I've ever seen in my life. Because God jerked the scales off my eyes and let me see me like he saw me. Man, through the eyes of love, it's amazing how nasty God can see us. How filthy and how vile and what a fake and what a just everything wrong in our life. And God began to just uncover layer after layer of me laying out there. And I don't know if I laid out there in them woods for 10 minutes or 10 hours. It wasn't 10 hours, but I don't know how long I was out there. But God just uncovered all them layers. All them layers and, man, stuff I hadn't even thought about, stuff that I hadn't even realized that was my problem, was wrong with me. God began to reveal that and showed me and exposed that. And I just said, yes, Lord, and that, Lord, and God, I've ruined everything. I mean, I got down there to the end of it and I said, God, I've ruined everything. Everything is ruined in my life. And if you don't do something, I'll destroy everything around me. Man, when I just said yes to the Lord that night, amen. God at that time gave me a faith that I never had in my life. Now, they said something up there this week that I never in my life
got a hold of, quite like I got it this week.
And I was telling Matt, because I can't shut up, I get something, man, I just want to share it and tell people.
Simon, who do men say that I am? Oh, they say you're John, they say you're this guy, they say you're that guy.
But who say you that I am? Thou art the Christ,
the Son of the living God. I went, oh my goodness. We're living in a world today. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, Simon Barjona, flesh and blood have not revealed this to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And that thing set on me, man, like a ton of bricks. And I went, Craig, God in heaven, America has a Jesus today that's been revealed by flesh and blood. But that night out there in them woods, Miss Stephanie, it went beyond the flannel graph boards. It went beyond what the preacher said. It went beyond what the Sunday school teacher said. It went beyond what all those men of God said. It wasn't flesh and blood. There's a God in heaven revealing his Son to me that night. And boy, when I said yes, turned from my sins, changed my mind, faced up to what it really was, and admitted to it. Confess means, let me say this. Don't take this, ain't the finality of this, but just kind of means to admit. Just admit it to God. Yes, Lord, you're right and I'm wrong. Yes, Lord, I'm a liar. Yes, Lord, I'm a cheat. Yes, Lord, I've done this. Yes, Lord, I've done it. You're right, I've done it. Lord, yes, you're right. Confess it, confess. He's faithful and just to forgive you of them sins. Then he gives you the faith of Jesus Christ. Then the Father that's in heaven. Then it goes beyond me, flesh and blood, revealing Jesus to you. Huh? Man, that's what I want to do. I want to reveal Jesus Christ to you. But it's got to be more than that. It's got to be the Father in heaven that goes beyond me and everything that I can do. That's why you can't say, oh, thank God for Brother David. No, we thank God for Jesus. Thank God for God. Flesh and blood hadn't revealed it to us. Man, I hope that when I stand and preach, it ain't so much in the flesh and blood, but I hope I stand in the Spirit. All right. Well, repentance. I was wandering along in sin, and God changed everything. You remember the woman that Jesus met at the well? We'll try to get through this. Look at John chapter 4, please. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, and he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. I mean, we're just talking about the Samaritan woman here. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour, and there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat, and then said the woman of the Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria, and the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans? And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, lady, and who it is that saith to thee, I added the lady there, give me to drink. Thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And I said, lady, so you can kind of catch the attitude. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. And whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Now get this. I want you to get this because we missed this. And it's very small maybe to you, but it's important. It's a doctrine. He said, if you drink of that water that's coming out of that spigot back there, you're going to be thirsty again.
And then he said, what verse is that?
Yeah.
Verse 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. And I know I've said it a million times in here, but he never said again. And God meant to not say again. It was a purpose for him to never bring salvation in that repetition together. That repetition of salvation.
If you ever do get saved, you will never need anything else. You will never need to ask God to save you. I mean, it's done. It's a one-time deal. That's why God didn't put the word again in that verse or at the end of that verse, because it's a one-and-done deal. So it's an eternal security doctrine in this verse here. And once saved, always saved, right there in John 4, 13 and 14. And the woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. Now we're talking about repentance. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. Well, thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman, watch this. The woman said, now watch this. This woman's a whore. She's not spiritual. She's not a church lady. She's not a Christian. She's a dirty street whore. What the Bible says. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. But what's this? Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. Now boy, that's just like our average church today. The sin that this woman's living in. And guess what she's going to do? She's going to go over and tell Jesus a thing or two about worship now. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing how religious and spiritual we can get around the Jesus crowd? Isn't it amazing? There's a woman living in sin, living in adultery. I mean, man, she had to go to the well when nobody else was there. She was such a bad reputation. She was so foul. They wouldn't even allow her to come draw water when they drew water. She had to go up there in another hour when nobody was around. Such a filthy life. Now here this woman is going to talk to the Son of God, Jesus. I said, oh, our fathers did that. Man, we went to church. Are you a prophet? I perceive that thou art a prophet. Well, let me tell you something, sir. My dad used to come up here on this mountain and praise God and worship God. We had church, man, right up here on this mountain. We'd worship God. I want you to look at what Jesus said. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something. There's a world full today of people in the same, may not be living with five different men, may not be that kind of a ill-reputed lifestyle, but I promise you one thing, they're lost just like this woman was lost, and yet they're going to church, they're shouting, they're praising God, they're worshiping, they're running around, they're religious leaders, buddy. She knew about it. That's what she was doing here. She was spiritualizing everything with Jesus Christ. I like his response. He said, our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Well, I say, because I'm a whore, that we ought to worship on the mountains, Jesus. Jesus said unto her, woman, shut your mouth, shut up. Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Listen to what he said, ye worship. You know not what. Lady, you don't even know what you're worshiping. That's what he said. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't have a clue. You're just up here talking. You're an unregenerate, unrepentant sinner, and you're trying to tell me about worship. You don't have a clue what you're talking about, lady. I like that. Well, wouldn't it be good if we could tell people the truth about it today, huh? You don't have a stinking clue. You don't know what you're worshiping. And most of the time, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be honest with you, if a person's unrepentant, they don't have a clue. This woman was unrepentant. She was unregenerated. She didn't have a clue. Neither does any other sinner. They might put on a front, they might put on a show, and God knows they do. But he said, you know not. You can see that this woman was religious. She's telling God about worship. God's telling her she don't know nothing about worship. And that's where we are today. Folks are religious and still living in adultery and every other gross sin under heaven. And yet they go to church and act spiritual. Isn't it amazing? You can talk to them about the Lord. They'll talk to you about the Lord. Wouldn't know God from a goat. It wasn't until she repented that she was even given saving faith. And I sat down there with Jesus. He didn't save her. What did she say? This is repentance we're talking about. She said, give me this water to drink. What is the water? Was that everlasting life? She said, sir, give me this water that I come not back here to draw. Please let me. Jesus wouldn't even deal with her on the matter of salvation. Wait a minute, lady. There's some things we're going to have to get down to before I give you this water. We're going to come face to face with who you really are. Isn't that amazing? Then he began to tell her about this man and that man, her lifestyle. What did she do? She changed directions, didn't she? I mean, she come this way, and when she got over there and faced up with who she was, she turned and went the other way and went out there to that town that nobody respected her, everybody shunned her, and she went out there and started going, come see a man. She told me all things that ever I did. Son, she repented. She repented. What does the Bible say? Fruit, meat for repentance. What does it say? That many believed. Man, that woman went out there, and for the first time in her life, she produced some good, holy, godly fruit because of her testimony. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And people began to come and get born again. But before Jesus ever gave her that water, the old preacher said, man, she came with a water pot and left with a well. Hey, man, she left with a well of life. And they said before Jesus ever would give her that water, she had to deal. And I'll be honest with you. Listen, and this is where preachers and me and everybody else sometimes misses it. Do you think Jesus dealt with her adultery alone? Oh, no, buddy. She filled in the blank. She said a lot when she made that statement. It wasn't just adultery that Jesus pinned her on. He didn't just get her over on the well and said, yeah, you're living in this sin of adultery, girl, and I tell you, if you'll just get rid of that, you can get saved. It's amazing how we can pinpoint alcohol and get, man, if you'll just get rid. Let me tell you something. This woman said, he told me all things that ever I did, not just the adultery. All things. That's what God did to me that night. Man, he began to uncover everything in my life. There were certain things that was major. Absolutely. There were certain things that me and the entire world looks at and goes, man, that's key. That's big. You need to get rid of that. But there was 10 million other things outside of that that God had to just jerk the covers off. And still to this day, can I be honest with you? Ever since that night, I repented unto salvation one time, and that's all I'll ever have to repent unto salvation. But man, for the fellowship and that closeness and all that growth in the Lord Jesus Christ, I've been repenting ever since. I've been changing my mind about things. I've been changing my views about things. I've been trying to change attitudes. I've been trying to change ways. I've been trying to change thoughts. I mean, things ever since the night I repented unto salvation. Man, I mean, man, yesterday I repented. This morning I had some things that I had to repent of. Change my, no, man, don't do that. I had those thoughts and didn't excuse those thoughts. Man, when you got those accusing thoughts, don't excuse those thoughts. Thank God, face them and repent of them. Lord, let you have them things to repent. It's a space, it's a time, it's a place of repentance. Well, before you ever would give her the water, you had to deal with her sin. And I tell you, that's where we're at today, ain't it? I mean, folks, I mean, just people aren't facing their sin. This easy believism, that's why it's easy believism, because the hard part of salvation is repentance. It's facing your sin. It's facing who you are and what you are. And that transgression against God's law, man, that's the hard part. You can't do that popping bubble gum. You can't do that while riding wheelies on a bicycle. Man, you're going to lay somewhere prostrate. It may take years. Some people, it may take a matter of minutes.
I'll tell you one thing, it won't be no games played. It'll be the most sobering time of our entire life, boy, that time we come face to face with a holy God. That's right. Facing our eternal damnation, facing our eternal security, whatever it may be, most serious time. We'll be riding bicycles like these suckers show on the little social medias, and 14 saved while riding willies on their bicycles. The dumbest junk, you know, so stupid. You don't think God's grieved? God's so grieved with our plan of salvation. I believe God's so sick and grieved. God's so upset about the world, so ashamed of what we've turned salvation into. God, help us get to a place of repentance, change in our mind. When does men suffer anguish and pain in their hearts and their minds? Where's the brokenness? Where's the contrition? Huh? I'm going to tell you where it sits. Lay it out there with repentance before we throw it out in the field somewhere. He said, we'll not have that. No brokenness, no contrition. We've got emotions. We've replaced contrition and brokenness with goosebumps and tears and emotional stirs. God help us. It's repentance. We let people today deal with their drinking, their doping, their fornication. Let people come to God today with their besetting sin. Sir, that alcohol is going to send you to hell. That alcohol will never send him to hell. It's some of the fruit. But that rejecting Jesus Christ, rejecting that word, will send that man to hell. Right. And it ain't, you know, I've seen people just face one sin in their life and confess one sin and never let God deal with the entire life, the whole thing. Never let God deal with it. And man, there's a lot more in there besides these surface sins that we hoop and holler, and everybody in the world can see the guy's a town drunk. Well, guess what? A town drunk might be a pervert too, and nobody knows it, but God knows it. He might be the biggest thief you ever met in your life, but he's never been caught, but God knows it. He might have that rebellion buried so deep in his heart that he just hates the very thought of love. But God can see that. And through salvation, through this repentance, God will begin to uncover all that ugliness. And man's going to have to face it. Going to have to. I hate God. I hate him. Despise God. Man's going to be faced with that. So you know what, God? I am your enemy. The Bible's plain about it, babe. The enemy of God. The enemies of God. You can't have two masters. No man can serve two masters. You're going to love the one and hate the other. Whichever one you're serving is the one that you love. The one you're not serving is the one that you hate, God said. There's no in-between. There's no straddling the fence. There's no, well, I kind of like, you know, I'm partial. I favor God, but I still want to serve my flesh and this world and my lust. And I want to go this way, but I respect God. No, you don't. That's a deceitful, lying, wicked heart. God uncovered it and said, you hate me. And you have to go, yes, God. I've hated you my entire life. No, I couldn't get at you, but I could sure get at my mom. I couldn't get at you, but I could sure hurt my daddy. I couldn't get at you, but I could sure hurt those that love me more than anything in this world. And that's what people that hate God do. They hurt other people around them that love them. I don't know all that. God made me face every single thing in the world. I didn't get saved, ladies and gentlemen, and neither did you, and continue the same path. You changed paths. You didn't get saved and continue the same life. Your life changed. It was fruit for repentance, meat for repentance. And things began to take place that you never, man, you did things you never thought you would do. That's repentance. That's fruit of repentance. You stop doing things that nobody in the world ever thought that you would be able to stop. They thought you would end up a vagabond. And God changed that through repentance. Sure. True repentance is a change, man. And I'm just careful sometimes, but it's a change of everything. It's a change of heart. It's a change of mind. It's a change of direction. It's a changed life completely. It's a changed life. I don't care if you're a nice person. You're going to change. There's a world of difference between a good person and a godly person. There's a world of difference between a good person and a spirit-filled person. A world of difference. Man, we got good kids, but we've got some carnal kids. And they're good in their own way, but I tell you, there's a world of difference between a good kid and a spirit-filled one. Man, let's get some of these. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says it plain. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, it's something to see, ladies and gentlemen. It is something to see. All things are become new. Behold, it's something that you can put your eyes on. Man, got to hurry. Let's look back at verse 8, back in Matthew. Is that where we was at? Matthew chapter 3. Yep. Bring forth, therefore, we'll cover this and I'll quit. Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. We've heard that a lot, and I just want to make sure that you have some kind of a basic idea. If you want an in-depth idea, you have to go somewhere else, but I'll give you a basic idea of the fruit meets for repentance. If a man has truly repented, there will be results in his life. Fruits, plural, meet for repentance. Show me your fruits. That was it. And it ain't just one. But they all add up to one. It's amazing. I'm going to be honest with you. They ain't none of them missing. They're there. Them fruits is there.
That's right.
If you've ever been repented, there'll be results in your life, or there'll be fruit to show it. That's why he said, behold, all things become new. It's something to see. There's something everybody in the world can see. There's fruit that you're producing in your life. This man has turned from sin unto God, and you can't turn from your sins unto God. You cannot change your mind from sin unto righteousness without people being able to see it. And if people can't see it, listen to me, if people can't see it, there's never been repentance. You just think, well, I don't see it. If people can't see it, there's never been a time of repentance. Got to counterfeit. Before repentance, there was fruit in your life. Think about it. What did your life? Your life's producing something. Whether you're saved or lost, your life produces something. And the only problem is when a man's lost, his fruit is corrupt. It's not good fruit. It's bad fruit. He may be a nice person. He may be, you know, debonair, suave, whatever you call it. He may be all the pros and positives above. But the fact of the matter is, his fruit is corrupt. It's going to spoil. It's going to go bad. It's not going to be counted for good. What is fruit? What is fruit? It's what comes out of us. It's what our life produces. It's what we leave behind when we go somewhere. You know, we just got back from New York, and man, what a fruitful trip, huh? I mean, personally, I wished every service was as good as it was Tuesday morning and Friday night. Friday night, it went after 11 o'clock, just the conviction of God. That's good. And it wasn't a show, and it wasn't no big format. It was just, man, somebody playing the piano, and somebody playing the guitar, and people just sitting around and pray as you please. And if the Lord deals with you about something, pray about it. And it was a holy hush, and people just kind of hung around and waited on the Lord till after 11 o'clock.
Tuesday morning was as good as it could be. Man, going up there, and I've declared to you, it's just like this. Old Brother Ron Williams would get up there and preach, and it was just like he was a big tree of God, and he would shake around, and Miss Stephanie, his peaches and his apples and his oranges and all that stuff would fall off into your heart. I mean, man, Brother John would get up there, and it was like God just taking that tree and just shaking it into my soul. And man, as he would preach, them fruits would fall off of his tree into my life. What a blessing. Man, it was sweet to my taste. Huh? I mean, everything they said, some things, man, cut me to the core. Lead me wide open. The Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Man, that thing laid me open. But I tell you, it was good fruit. For my good, it was going to help me. Help me be a better husband. Help me be a better daddy, a better brother, a brother-in-law, uncle, preacher, pastor, friend, worker. Everything, every aspect of my life, that fruit can affect every area of my life and be productive. And when it does, those men, whether they even know it or not, got to mark it off as them producing more fruit. Huh? When it produces fruit through me, and then my fruit that I'm producing, you can carry it on when you go out there on the job and you begin to live that life and share that fruit down on the job. Then that fruit's producing more fruit. Good. Thank God, man. But it's something that you can see. I'm telling you, church, it's just something about God's people. I don't know if y'all can think. I don't want to call their name. But there's people up there in that church. Man, there's people up there in that church that when they were lost, they were just filthy, nasty, vile, looking, smelling, acting old sinners. And I go up there and they're not putting on a show. They're not trying to impress me. They don't even know I'm looking. They're just living. You understand? They're just living. People ain't trying to impress nobody. But I seen one family where one person in that family got saved. I'm telling you, it has changed that entire family. That entire family's different this year. That one person's the only one that got saved. But that life is so fruitful. Man, I'm telling you, the fruit in that home is changing that entire home little by little. And I seen it. And I've seen that other one that's meaner than a striped tail snake, and I can sometimes appreciate that until it's turned toward me. Just as sweet as a person that could be. You say, what is that? What is it that could take an old mean, hateful, jealous, bitter person and turn them into somebody that says, thank you. I thank God for you. What a blessing you are. You've been a blessing to me. Huh? That's repentance, man. That's what repentance will do. It'll change you. It'll take a mean person and make them sweet because they've changed. It'll take a filthy home. It'll take a nasty home. It'll make it clean. And I'm telling you, it's something that I can see. I mean, they didn't even have to tell me they got saved. I said, man, something's different about the entire family. And even one of them got saved. I can't imagine if the whole family gets born again what it might be. My goodness gracious. Repentant. Fruit being shaken from some trees last week that will help us change our lives forever for the good. Good fruit. Produce more fruit in my life. One of the things I like to see in people is a change. Actions, attitudes, motives, directions. All that stuff. True repentance will take away anger, ladies and gentlemen. True repentance will take away malice. It'll take away bitterness. It'll take away revengeful spirit. People want to get even. True repentance will get rid of that. Don't want to get even with nobody. I don't want to get even with nobody. Vengeance is the Lord's. It's just like me saying that while ago about reading that book and wanting to go into social work. Man, I mean, just I want to help. I want to do something to help, you know, just to be able to go. I mean, you got to see the signs. These little old boys, and they're cut and bruised and greasy and nasty, and they're hiding under their desk and, you know, just, man, get picked on. Something is wrong in their life. It's not normal. And just to be able to help, do something. And not to kill somebody, but to get somebody some help. Get them out of that situation. Get the perpetrators locked up. And do something. I mean, isn't it amazing? I told Matt, I said, man, we spend our life chasing money. Little kids like that, while we're chasing our dreams, is literally being just mutilated. Mutilated. Told a story of one incident where they took a garden tool, huh? And raped her, brutally raped her with a garden tool. And she would lay there in pain and in blood. But I'm going to get me a new car. It's a shame. Boy, a repentant sinner starts seeing needs and goes, man, it ain't about me making more money. It's about me trying to help somebody. Huh? What can I do to help? A real burden, a real cause in life. Man, get down there to the end of your life and look back. I mean, go over there with me, if you will, please, to Bermuda Run. There's a bunch of rich, retired folks in there, miserable. Nothing really. Some of them got some old war stories. Boy, you get around some of these people that's kind of struggled and they ain't never had a whole lot, but they've spent their life helping others. Man, you talking about a good way. Man, it's a good way to go. They can't afford to go over in Bermuda Run and die over in that nice, careful place. Son, they can die down on the backside of nowhere with a peace of God. I mean, nothing like when the saints of God goes home. Nothing like it. Changes everything all the way to the grave, ladies and gentlemen. Gets rid of all that stuff in your heart. It'll make you glad to get things right with others. Huh? It'll make you glad. You ever seen people apologize and resent it? Well, I'm sorry. They ain't mean that. Boy, I tell you, when you repent, you want that thing right. You're so glad. Man, I want you to know I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? Would you please forgive me? Man, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Man, you want that thing right so bad. That's repentance. I don't want nothing between me and people. Good way to live, ladies and gentlemen. I think it'll fix them stinking attitudes, won't it? I think repentance will fix a stinking attitude. Oh, sorry, butt attitude. You know they ain't never repented because their attitude stinks. It'll change that. Sure it will. Well, let's read this. Let's do... when Jesus showed up, ladies and gentlemen, in Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 17, I won't cover... What was the first thing Jesus ever preached? Repentance. The first thing... John the Baptist done been killed. Jesus stepped out and said, let me tell you something. If you don't repent and believe, you're going to die and go to hell. How about this, man? Repent and believe. Let's read this together. Let's go to Mark 1, verse 15. We'll all read it together, and we'll go to the house and eat. And me and my wife's going to kiss. I got a week to make up. Steve and him ain't got what we got, baby. They've been together. The flame has gone out. Me and you's excited. Woo! Mark chapter 1. We're going to run Matthew off. Glory to God. We're going to send him to the mall with a pocket full of change. Send him to the arcade. Y'all ready? Mark 1:15 on three. 1, 2, 3. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That's the wrong verse. I'm sorry. No, I'm just kidding. That's the right one. That's the right verse. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent, Jesus. You see, how many of y'all's Bible got red writing when Jesus talks? Huh? Y'all got red writing? Mine's got red writing today. I don't always use this one, but that's Jesus Christ talking. And Jesus said in Mark 1:15, repent ye and believe. But the first thing you're going to do is repent. Amen. Repentance. Well, I didn't tell you nothing you didn't already know, but it's always good to have your memory fresh. Father, thank you for this day. Help us, dear God, to... carry this gospel forth to a lost and dying world. Help us, God, to be better soul winners. And God, help us to carry a greater burden. Help us to love our neighbors, Lord, more than we've ever loved them. I pray, God, that you bless each and every life in here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.